We're back.
Hey guys.
It's Nikki.
And it's Heather.
And we're your host of Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes.
I felt like I was supposed to say you Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes. Because you're like, we're back.
Yeah, we didn't really rehearse that. Right. We're a little rusty and dusty.
A little bit.
Life has been chaotic, to say the least.
Life's been fucking hell.
We are behind, so we apologize. We're a little late on getting you guys some episodes. But again, shit happens and we're humans with children and husbands and life. Last time I said I have officially started school, which has been hellacious. And I'm doing good though. I'm doing good. I got like A's and B's.
I'm so proud of you.
I know, right?
I want your report card when it comes so I can give you some dollars.
I need some dollars, please. Shit, somebody better.
Felina, pay your daughter for good report cards.
That's right. Shit. Going back to school at 34 years old. Anyhoot, got the promotion. That's been chaotic.
She has her own little office too.
I have a big girl office. I have a fancy desk and everything.
Do you have a key to your office?
I do have a key
to my office. Oh, look at you, bougie bitch.
I can shut the door whenever I don't want to deal with people and pretend I'm in a meeting.
Look at you.
Yeah, other than that, like home life, kids, normal. How about yourself? How's the move?
Let's not talk about the move.
No, but we do got to talk about how cute your freaking house is because we did our haunted killer.
Thank you.
We did our haunted killer.
It was so much fun. I had so much fucking fun.
It was so fucking fun.
So much fucking fun.
I think a lot of the people did too because everybody was like, okay, you know, like nobody really seemed into it. And then it was like, once we got playing,
I was like, yeah, we're like, locking the other team out of the house. Yes. And like making sure they weren't looking in the windows to see us looking at evidence.
Making like swearing pacts that we weren't cheating. Like, I swear we're not cheating.
Hey, you guys, it was great. It was so much fun. We had so much fun. 12 people?
12.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we did 6 and 6.
Yeah.
And
we're going to have to start doing it at like every month once it comes so warm.
It was so fun.
I have to shout out to the little kids for sleeping outside in the tent by themselves. I guess they're not the little kids. I mean, to us, they're still little. It was freezing.
It was so cold. I thought for sure we were going to wake up to a living room full of
kids. Right. Wait, how many kids were there? I had two. No, I had three. You had one.
I had one.
And then two more.
Yeah.
So that's six.
Yeah.
Six kids.
Yeah.
And
mind you, all of our kids are grown, but they're still kids to us.
Well, Naya's not grown. She wasn't there. Yeah, they're all in junior high, but high still, school. It was fucking cold. There ain't no way I would have done it.
Oh,
I thought I froze my ass off sleeping on the floor.
Me and Heather sleeping on dog.
I only slept on the floor because Puppy was sick.
Yeah.
And she was at the head of the bed and Pooches was at the foot of the bed and Scott was on the other side of the bed and I could not fit in the bed.
My air mattress was flat in 2.5 fucking seconds. So my happy ass slept on the floor.
Oh God, you guys, missed a great time. Oh
fantastic.
My God. Yes.
It was fantastic.
All the food, the killing, honey and the killer.
Yes. And we separated the teams. We all had to come up with our own conclusion. At the end, we passed each other a note who we thought the killer was. We both teams got it right.
Right.
All were on the same kind of track. We had a little bit different of a feeling, but ultimately same conclusion.
Each of us were captains, the two of us.
Yeah, two of us were captains. And it was really cool because when we were doing our separations and you guys were getting to investigate, we were outside talking over our evidence and, That damn bag that we had to unlock.
Oh my God, that bag.
It was so funny because we were so excited that we got it open. And we're like, they're never going to figure it out. And then all of a sudden we hear, yeah, fuck yeah. I was like, damn it, they got the bag.
The bag was the hardest.
It was hard.
Like, for real, like Gina knew as soon as we fucking came in, I came outside, Gina's like, the wife did it and the cop did it, blah, 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 and just going on and on. No, she said the wife did it. And I was like, well, no. No, she said the cop did. And I was like, the spouse always does it. And then we were like, the cop and the wife did it. Oh my God. The bonfire. Yeah, it was amazing.
That bag was fun to open because once I figured it out, Jimmy and I were working on the code to figure out how to open the bag. And I was like, the code repeats. And we're like running in circles, me and Jimmy trying to find. Did it even repeat?
I don't remember.
You had to crack the.
Because Kaylin and Olivia were working on the code.
So the code, you had to crack the code, and it was so much fun. It was so, but me and Jimmy were like running around because we're trying to find the one piece of paper that had.
Right, they would steal. Kaylin and Olivia would steal papers from us, and we'd be like, "Well, where's this paper? Oh, it's over here. Well, we need it. You know, it was so much fun.
It was so much fun.
Oh my God!
And then we'd be cussing y'all because we'd walk in and y'all would have everything piled back up. We're like, "Them assholes!
I did that every fucking time. Sorry to be hit the table.
All the staples out of everything. I'm like, you asshole.
I did that. I was trying to get you guys. I was like, we're not laying it out. We're going to stack it all up. Oh my God. All like, together.
After our turn, I laid it all out pretty and nice.
No, because I wanted you guys to have to look through it again. So you guys would
find it. We walked in and we were like, assholes. So that was a blast and definitely suggest doing it again.
Right.
Tyler's house is so cute.
Thank you. You couldn't tell right now. I'm currently working on the craft room.
Are you?
Yeah. And the craft room at the old house was double the size of the craft room here.
Oh.
So, you know, I'm kind of like, I went from like a 12 by 15 room to a 9 by 8 room.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, so now I'm trying to figure out where to put everything and it's kind of overwhelming. So my mama's gonna come and help me. Well, she's gonna come stay with me anyway because she has her dad because my mom has to get a knee replacement. So
oh boy.
She can come help me arrange everything.
That'll be eventful.
So
well, that's our lives. And ow, I just bit my tongue.
Ow.
Fuck's sakes. Our train of thought. I just bit my tongue hella hard. So today we're going to jump back into a case. And we were talking about this. This is our first case, right? Since we've been in the new studio.
Yeah, because I believe we talked about the prison tour.
Yeah.
Last time.
Mm-hmm. And then we talked about, that was the only one.
That was the only one we done because then we didn't do last week. Because I wasn't feeling good.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie, y'all. I dropped the ball. Sorry. I had just started school, and I didn't realize our recording day was the day that we were supposed to record. And Heather's like, what time do you want me there? I'm like, like, what are you talking about?
Well, today, Scott's on vacation this week, so, like, he didn't go to work today. And I got up this morning thinking it was the freaking weekend. And so. I walked in, and the news was on, and they're talking about, you know, it being Monday. I'm like, oh, fuck. We have a recording today.
Yes.
So I had to run to Warrenton and then hurry up and run out here.
So that was my fault, but Heather was sick. So I definitely was sorry. Like, well, go ahead and stay home. Let's just reschedule this one. you know, because Heather babysits snotty nose kids as well.
So. Snotty nose. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're my loves, but they snotty nose. Yeah,
they all are.
I get everything they get. And they are in daycare when they're not with me. So
yeah. Ugh. So today we're going to jump into our first case from home. Hopefully my dog doesn't go batshit crazy this episode, but if she does, hey, enjoy the
mailman.
I'm pretty sure the mailman came or maybe not. So we might be in for a treat. So jump right into quick disclaimer. First one at home. Let's see how
this goes
for Heather.
We are not experts nor detectives. All information in today's episode is public knowledge and personal opinions. Opinions. We talk murder and have foul mouths. Listener discretion is highly advised. Well, fucked it up.
You know, gotta start somewhere.
Oh, well. You know, I've memorized the last one.
On the last
episode. So it's going to take us 11 episodes for me to memorize this one.
So today we're going to talk about DeAndre Buchanan. He is inmate number 103-6512 at the Jefferson City Correctional Center. This one was kind of fun because it's right after we did the prison tour. Mm-hmm. And the Jeff City Correctional Center is what made the pen shut down.
Right.
They changed that to that. So that's kind of cool. He would be where we went to visit right. had they not did all that. Now, this particular one, though, for everybody, just so they know some resources, this was on the Netflix season one, episode 6 of I Am a Killer. What? Oh, Heather's bougie bathtub picture. Did y'all see that? That's some redneck engineering
right there. Damn straight.
Some redneck engineering, and
it was so comfortable though. Like, I got to lay there in a hot, steamy bath and watch about murders.
Fuck yeah.
And I never knew about the And I
you know what's crazy is I started watching it, but I think I only got to like season 3, and then you know other shit happened. Episode 3.
Oh, okay.
And then like shit happened, and then you're like, oh, watch this show. I'm like, you know what? I had started it.
Okay, so I'm only in the middle of like season 2, I think, and so far there's 3. Prisoners that are Missouri, so we gonna be doing that.
Wow, I didn't know there was 3
so far.
Okay, well, we're gonna go DeAndre Buchanan again at Jeff City Correction Center. He was born in Centerville, Illinois. He describes himself as a down-to-earth, kind-hearted person. He states that his grandparents played a big role in his upbringing, as well as his father. It's said that his father was a very religious man. He played a very active role in being sure that DeAndre's grades were good, that he was active in the church. He even had him active in sports. So overall, what I gathered was he had a pretty decent upbringing.
Right. It doesn't say anything about his mom, though. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't hear. It didn't say anything about his mom. It just basically said his grandparents and his father.
Right.
So don't really know where that went. But at the age of 14, DeAndre's father was in a fatal motorcycle accident. And what did you say his...
So he used to always like go riding with his dad. And one the day that he was in the motorcycle accident that killed his father, he wanted to go with him, and his daddy told him no. Well,
God has a plan. I don't know that it was a good plan.
Right. I'm guessing the police or whatever called the father's brother, so DeAndre's uncle, and told him, and he went over and got DeAndre and told him that his daddy was in a motorcycle accident and took him to the site. And he's seen his daddy's dead body there.
Why would you take a 14-year-old
right?
to verify as if you don't know that that's your brother laying there?
Right?
So that alone is fucked up to me.
That fucked you up anyway.
Right.
Right.
That's fucked up to me. And yeah, he was 14 at the time.
I mean, that's like Kaylin and Olivia.
Yeah. That'd be like me calling and being like, hey guys, you need to come make sure Nick, this is
Olivia,
mom.
I'm going to come get you. Let's go see if this is your mom dead on the side of the road. The fuck?
Oh my gosh.
People ain't right.
Are they not right? I'm hearing you say it, especially like that, makes me like, what the actual fuck? Like,
from what he said, if I remember right, because this has been, you know, hot minutes since I watched that episode, but that's pretty much how it was. You know, he called and said, hey, your daddy was in an accident.
Yeah. that's exactly what it was. Now it said that after this, naturally, is where it really got tough for him in his life. He states that after his father passed is when he really began to get in trouble. He started fighting and just going down the wrong path, naturally, because, I mean, seeing your father the way he did.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously,
I've seen dead bodies on the side of the road that I had no kin to or anything. And it fucked me up.
Me too. I've seen a motorcycle accident.
Right.
I've seen them placing the sheet over the body. And that is something that has stuck with me forever.
Right.
I couldn't imagine being somebody.
Being my daddy at 14.
So naturally, this really messed him up. He started fighting. He started getting into trouble. He eventually was introduced to the drug game. He began selling. And as he continued through his growth of selling, you know, going down that path, there's a lot of messed up people and scary things.
Right.
But this introduced him to have some trust issues, which naturally in that kind of business, you're always watching your back. He said he began carrying a lot of weapons around that time because he was actually robbed by someone that he trusted. And it raised a lot of trust issues, a lot of paranoia, and he began carrying guns.
Right.
Everywhere he went, every location he had a gun on him at all times. He had met a woman, I want to say girl, but a woman named Angela, that he had began dating in high school. In the beginning, it was said that, I mean, everybody seemed to think that he was very kind. He was very polite. I think her mother even said that, you know, he picked her up for prom. He brought her home on time. So he definitely, in the beginning, seemed like a very good,
down to earth, wholesome young man. Kid, right? Yeah.
But Angela became pregnant with their daughter. She didn't quite know. It said she didn't quite know what he was doing in the drug game.
No, she didn't know like his like outside life of outside of the house.
Right. Right. So. It sounds like she didn't know a whole lot what was going on. She ended up becoming pregnant again. They had another daughter. And it seems like over time, this is where he became more and more protective, more and more controlling. He was keeping her from seeing her family. He was keeping her from going places. His paranoia was just increasingly getting worse and worse. Even to the point that one night he had came home. And he had gotten so angry at her because she had a cousin stop by and
no one was supposed to know their address. They had moved from one place to another and no one was supposed to know their address.
He didn't
and
she want gave nobody it to the cousin. Know where they live.
Right.
He didn't want nobody to be able to contact them type stuff. So he definitely was. I feel like you can see where the spiral.
The schizophrenic paranoia came in.
It all started kind of
right
for him to, you know, move her away and the kids away and stuff. And to say, nobody can know where we live because people are out to kill me type stuff. Like, okay, I get the fear of that, but at some point, like you could just see where the spiral started.
Right. And that normally, that kind of stuff normally does start in your early 20s.
But eventually there was a domestic incident after that situation of her having her cousin at the house. The cops were called. She did get a protective order against him, and his paranoia also had gotten so bad to the point to where he hired a man to open the doors for him, because he had heard of someone being shot through the door. So he literally was so paranoid that he hired somebody that every time somebody would come to the door, he'd make the doorman answer the door first in case somebody was there to shoot him through the door.
And he went everywhere with him.
Mm-hmm. Literally everywhere. So that right there screams to me, freaking.
You need a pill?
Yeah. You need help. So all of this leads us up to the night of November 7th in 2000, they were in Columbia, Missouri. He was attending a gathering at his stepfather's house, and they were all there to celebrate his aunt who had just gotten her own place. It sounds like they were a pretty close-knit family.
Well, the cousins said, like, they all grew up together. They were all real close, you know. They were together all, like us.
Well, and it said... Here's what confused me, though. It said that his stepfather's house. So stepfather would be married to his mother,
Right. Never said a word about a mama.
Yeah. Never said a word about his mom. So I thought that was very interesting because they even describe like his stepdad as being somebody who was always there for him,
right.
who, you know, took care of him. So I thought it was really weird that it was involving his stepfather, but not his mom. But this is the night where everything took a turn. DeAndre was responsible for the death of three family members. He again was paranoid. He stated that he had bought some, he wanted to get high,
mm-hmm.
But just smoking pot. It wasn't no hard drugs or anything like that.
Right.
He states that he got high and went into a state of paranoia,
right.
pretty much. He's saying that whatever was in the drug that he had smoked, is what caused him to be paranoid. He also stated though that when he went to the door after his doorman opened it, he noticed one of the doors close was cracked open and he didn't like
and the that. Light was on
and the light
was and on. It wasn't like that earlier.
Yeah. And so when he had came back again, the door was now shut, and that's when he became paranoid and he wanted the doorman to
go
open
in there,
the door.
Right. And check it.
And the doorman just kept telling him, you know, it's fine. There's nobody in there. Nobody's coming.
The whole
house.
Family was telling him that.
Yeah. And his paranoia started to grow. And at this point in his words, he's stating that they're trying to tag up on him and trying to right. kill him. And he believes somebody's hiding in that room that has come to kill him. So his paranoia is really fucking kicking in. To me, it sounds like, I don't know that it was really drug related. I think he was paranoid.
I think he just hit rock bottom with it.
Yeah. I think his paranoia was so high in general with
right.
the disease of, yep. you know, what he had, and it just snapped. He ended up grabbing a pump shotgun. And he had threatened the doorman, was threatening him to open the door. I'm assuming naturally that's when his family was like, hey, you know, like,
that's when his stepdad and his aunt came at him to talk to him about it.
Yeah, that, you know, naturally, as your family would, they'd be trying to calm you down. It said that he went on to point the gun at his aunt. His aunt was basically talking to him, you know, telling him, hey, I'm your aunt, like, snap out of it, you know?
Right.
And he shot her, cold blank, shot her. Naturally, his stepfather stepped in. They believe he was trying to probably at that point take the gun from him.
Right.
After shooting his aunt, he then again had to, I mean, we're talking pump shotgun.
Pump
so
it.
He had to pump the shotgun again, and he shot and killed his father. Now, his aunt, Juanita Hoffman, I didn't mention her name, so apologize about that. And then his stepfather, Williams Jefferson. So at this point, he's now shot and killed both of them. Everybody else that was in the house takes off running. Police arrive and, when he arrived, they found a woman on the ground with two children in her arms, basically trapped under her, unresponsive.
She was. Children weren't.
Yeah, she was.
Right.
The children were not.
Trying to get from underneath her.
Yeah. Sounds like when she hit the ground, you know, it had pinned the kids down or she had them in her arms. He stated that she had also like spread her arms to where, or she, no, she had the baby. She had
the baby
lifted up. So it wouldn't hit her. So it was very hard for the cop when he talked about it, because he said, you know, it was obvious that she died protecting her kids. And this would be Angela, the mother of his children. He did kill her as well. Now, the hardest part with that for me, for you, was she was running away. She got out of the house. She ran away. He ran after her, screaming for her to stop. He then had to reload the shotgun, stand in front of her, argue with her, and he's with her children in her arms, and he still proceeded to pull that trigger. So I don't think it gets more fucked up than that.
But he don't remember none of this.
Yes. So naturally he was arrested that night, pretty much. And when you watch the interview of him in that room, initially, he's like, yeah, they were trying to kill me. Like, they were asking me why, I shot her. And then he tried to take the gun from me and I shot him. And then he even states that she was running away and he reloaded the gun and that she had the kids in his arms. And that's why he shot high. So he didn't hit the kids, but 100% intended to shoot her. Like, how fucked up are you?
Right.
I don't even have a thing for that. And then the worst part about it is now he's just like, I don't know what happened. I don't remember any of it.
He was cold hard son of a bitch on that video. I mean, on the show.
Well,
in the beginning.
Yeah. In the beginning, it kind of had me tricked. Because
right.
I was like, okay, well, maybe he really did, go into a psychotic, paranoia phase, like not justifying what the fuck he did, but.
He said he never got loud with the baby mama and this and that. But then when the cousins come on to talk, they're like, he beat the shit out of her.
Yeah.
And then you could tell after he listened to what they said, he was trying to reframe himself from showing his anger, but he was getting so fucking mad.
Well, and another thing that bothered me was I knew I was getting death penalty. I didn't want to live after I realized what I did, but I did what I did. So I guess I just have to serve my consequences. Right. Basically. He was like, yeah, I know what I did was wrong, but I guess I just got to pay the price now. That's right. Just the price I got to pay for what I did. And it's like,
he didn't ask for no forgiveness. No, it doesn't nothing.
Seem like he has any remorse.
No, none at all.
Like at all. So April 22nd, 2001, a jury vote of 10-2, sentenced Buchanan to death, for all three charges. He was sentenced to murder one without life, murder one life without the possibility of probation or parole, and the death penalty possible. And then he was sentenced 10-2 by jury vote for the death penalty. Now in 2003, the Supreme Court ruled that a capital sentence can only be issued if a unanimous jury decision is made. So because it was a 10-2 decision, his sentence was reduced to life in prison without parole.
Yep.
It's fucked up, but when you look at the broad spectrum of it for everyone else in the picture of all the other death penalty cases.
Here's my thing, though. The people that are already in prison should get what their sentence is. Mm-hmm. They started 2001. Okay, if it's not unanimous or whatever it's called. After 2001 of October, anyone that gets arrested, then it should start.
I do understand that. But here's also where my criminal justice comes in. The system has been so screwed up for so long that a lot of people are being charged or serving sentences that aren't necessarily. They're a little harsher than what maybe they should be.
Getting killed for killing someone.
I fully believe they.
And the motherfucker sat there and admitted it. So if he can sit there and admitted it, that should not be changed.
No, I wholeheartedly believe.
But then again, that's the easy way out also. because
please don't turn us off.
I'm not, that's why I moved it. I mean, you know, you sit there and you kill someone. Oh, well, you know that you're going to get killed 10, 20, 30 years from now. Why not keep them there? I mean, I wholeheartedly believe in the death penalty or whatever it is. But I think keeping them there and making them live in that shit, I mean, because we all admit, prison is not.
No.
Fun.
No.
It's hell. So make them live through that hell. Yeah. Instead of giving them a way out.
And I do agree. I do agree on some of those instances with that. Now, this particular case,
ones that, like, there's quite a bit of them. And he may have even been one of them. There's quite a bit of them that have asked for the death penalty, mm-hmm. and they've given it to them. Fuck you. No. bitch, you don't get to pick. No.
Right.
I mean, no.
Yeah.
Do you want your ass beat, or do you want to stand in the corner?
Right.
Well, I want to stand in the corner. Nope. You can stand in the corner. Nope. You're going to get your ass beat. Fuck that. You don't, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know. Yes.
No, absolutely. You don't get to pick your punishment. Nope.
Absolutely. Mm-mm. But again, for me though, this one was, I don't believe that this should have been changed because of the fact that, like the prosecutor said, he presented it as to be convicted of first degree murder and, you know, the death penalty and everything, you have to have reasonable doubt. There cannot be any reasonable doubt of what is happening.
Right.
And it has to be either premeditated or pre-thought out and da 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 da. Okay. So let's start here. The aunt maybe was spur of the moment. Unfortunate.
No, why's the motherfucker went and got a gun?
I'm saying though,
he knew what he was gonna do.
He was on the defense when he felt paranoid, blah blah blah. She came, da 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 da. He shot her. Okay. He the moment paranoia kicking in, blase, blase, blase. Try to take a gun from me. No, F you. I feel like you're trying to kill me. So this happens. Now you have the stepfather who, again, maybe he didn't think about it and was just like, no, you're not getting this gun from me because if you get it from me, you're going to kill me. So I'm going to kill you first, which I feel like is ultimately what he said in a sense.
Right.
Now, when it comes to Angela, you had to reload the gun. You had to run after her and you had to stop and talk to her. You admitted that you stopped and talked to her. You reloaded the gun and you ran after her. Now you have premeditated this murder. So if you're not going to get it for the other two, you're definitely going to get it for her.
See, this is my way of thinking. Okay. And I may get myself in trouble by saying this. We may have to edit it for the first time, but this is what I'm going to say. I have a gun. I carry a gun with me. If you fuck with me, I'm going to shoot you. So that's premeditated.
Okay, but
he went and got a gun and shot his aunt, then his father, and that is premeditated.
Yours becomes self-defense. There's a difference. If somebody's threatening your life,
bitch, but I'm going to shoot to kill. I'm not going to shoot to injure.
Okay, but...
Do we need to edit that out?
No, because I feel like in that sense, you're talking like somebody is, you know, you're defending yourself at this point. Again, which I feel like, you know, he had the gun, he got paranoid. You can't call it self-defense because he wasn't. We don't really know if he was or wasn't defending himself, but that's what he felt. So they could have tried for that. But once you have his confession, he said he fucking did it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, had he not, they maybe could, and he had a good freaking defense lawyer. They maybe could have fought for, he truly felt like he was feared for his life. Blase, 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 all that bullshit. But there's no way he could have got away with that with her. You ran after her. You reloaded the gun. You pumped the shotgun before you killed her. You had plenty of time to decide whether or not to kill her. The other two, whether it was heat in the moment, whether it was snap, whether it was whatever, you thought about killing her. You had a moment to stop yourself and say, I'm not going to do this.
Right.
and you didn't. So therefore, I feel like you should get the death penalty.
No, because that's what he wanted.
I don't think he cared what he got.
But I thought he asked for a death penalty. Maybe that was one of the other ones. I don't remember.
I don't know. But at the end, it states, after he had seen all his family stuff, he was like you said, he was almost kind of pissed off in a sense.
Oh, there wasn't no almost. Yeah. He was pissed. He was just trying to hide that shit. But he made
the comment of, I'm going to get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to get out of here.
And what's that mean? Are you threatening them?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was kind of weird. Because he was right. I will get out. I will get out of this or something like that. I will get out of here. Something along those lines.
Right.
And to me, it was just kind of like, but then he also in the same breath said, I can't trust nobody. I can't trust my family.
Right.
How am I supposed to trust somebody when they were willing to say all this stuff about me? Mm-hmm. They're willing to say all this stuff about me, about what I did. I can't trust true. Them. I can't trust them. So to me, everything he said at the end of that was, when he gets out of, nothing has changed about him.
No, he's still paranoid.
He's still the same man that he was, whether he thinks he found Jesus or he thinks he's a good man, that's fine and all. But at the end of the day, you're still saying that when I get out of here, I can't trust nobody. I can't trust my family. I can't da 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 da. So what that tells me is if you get out of here,
you're still in that mindset.
You're still in that mindset that the exactly. next person who all of a sudden looks at you wrong, you're going to be like, oh, they were trying to kill me. So I killed them.
Pop a cap in the ass.
Yeah. Like, and that's wholeheartedly what I got. That's what I got from him. He did appeal. 2018, it was denied. He officially is done. He's serving the rest of his life in prison. So it was denied in 2018. So, I mean, ultimately, that's the case of DeAndre Buchanan.
Scumbag.
Yeah. So I thought it was an interesting one. There was mixed feelings in the beginning when I first started watching it. I was like,
right. I was like, oh, that's why I was like, yeah, oh, was you like, know, okay, I don't well, know if he should be in there. Maybe you know, he
really did have a snap moment. Right. And, you know, not that it's okay, but, you know, maybe he is remorseful. And then it was like, boom.
Right. Quick. And then all of a sudden, snap changed.
Quick 180.
Like, if you would have had, if there would have been a commercial and it came back from the commercial, different motherfucker sitting up in that chair.
It was crazy. It was super crazy. So I don't know. Let's see. We're back in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Do we have anything going on between then?
Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy birthday to Bren.
Happy birthday to Bren. Happy birthday to Kaylin. We'll be back before Olivia, so she's gotta wait. You gotta wait. Sorry. Yours is later.
Yeah, we did a little birthday for the three girls. What was it? It was Bren, Kaylin, and Olivia, because all three of their birthdays, two in November and one in December.
Yep.
And then mine and Nikki's is in December.
We didn't even do ours.
But that was like, you know, the first time that we'd been together in a long time with all of our kids and everything. So did a little birthday.
Damn, we should have added our age.
Right. We had two 15s and one 17. Well, where we would have put a 40, what, I'm 41. And how old are you? I'll be 41.
I'll be 34. Thanks to your daughter
who
made me feel so much better when she told me, Nikki, you're not going to be 35. You're going to be 34. I was like, really?
So I'll be 41, right? Because you're 34. They're six. They're 35. They're 6 or 7, 38. They're 9, 40, 41. Yeah, because I'm 7 years old. And holy shit.
Yeah, you're old.
Fuck off.
Heather made us a sign for our studio. Yes. We're going to take a picture and put it up so everybody can see it.
Then I got to make your boo thing a sign for his podcast. Yeah,
I got to make my hubby sign for his podcast because he also does his down here. Book it. Shout out.
Yeah, so you better shout out for us, baby.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to tell you when we get off here. Oh. I had to get on his ass about following and liking. It was so funny.
Girl, husband don't even follow.
I don't give a damn.
My husband has listened to.
You better give us a like.
Zero podcast of ours. He don't know how to do that. He don't even do Facebook.
Give me a 5-star and go on about your way.
Right.
That's all.
I don't know how to give us. Yet, how do you give us a 5-star?
But the motherfucker will steal my hoodie and wear it everywhere.
Right. How do you give us a 5? How do you give us a 5-star?
On the platform that you listen to, you can rate the podcast.
Oh, we need to get like a little Patreon thing going too, so we can get some money flowing.
Yeah, so we can start doing some more fun activities.
Right.
Because
all this has came out of our pocket so far. We need to get us some.
Yeah. And right. we need some merch flying off the shelves, guys.
Not yet, bitch.
Oh, Heather's got to get her craft room ready. Because, you know, we make our own merch, guys. So
who the fuck's we?
There's no, whatever.
You got a mouse in your pocket.
I do got a mouse in my pocket. Squeak, squeak. Oh, like we took the squeaker down. And you guys.
It's not a squeaker. It's a fucking fire alarm.
Whatever. It's a squeaker. It's a squeaker, motherfucker. It says beep.
Beep, right? It doesn't say squeak.
Well, if you're upstairs, it sounds like squeak. Anyway, so
I don't want to leave.
We located it and Heather took it down today. Yes,
because she couldn't reach it because you're too short.
I am short, and you know my husband looks like a husband and says I don't see it anywhere.
I don't hear nothing. It don't affect me.
So
where's it at?
Yeah,
right in front of your fucking face.
So anyways,
where's my Subway?
Check us out. Your hands on it. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google, all the major platforms. We are now just Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes Podcast. It has our logo with the pretty flower background.
Here's our original.
And the arch. Yeah, look at
this. This is where our logo came from.
That's where it originated.
Yeah.
So give us a like, give us a follow, give us 5 stars. On there,
it just helps our
algorithm.
Yes, that word.
Yes,
that word.
And I will say I was very, very excited. Algorithms. I can see that kind of stuff, and I was super duper excited. Yeah, and I was super excited.
Did you see the one chick that did the shout out?
That's
she's like from a different country.
She is. Becca Wakeham, she is.
Hey girl, hey!
She gave us a shout out and it was like the most fangirl moment. Right. Because
I cried. But I cry about everything.
From the States. And she found us through one of the sites that we belong to, just of, you know, us pubbing our own name out there. And
I did one by myself the other day.
Did you? Good for you. And she found us and she posted a little post to people saying y'all should check them out. So
gave us a shout out
to Becca Wakeham. She's
love you, girl.
Pretty freaking awesome. But yeah, going back to that though, I can see like we have like 2 listeners from Germany.
My God, you're gonna have to show me how to do all that. You know, I don't know how to turn it on.
I'll get the statistics for you and show. Otherwise, we do have our website. www.murdershowsandcomfyclothes.com. We can be found on Facebook, Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes Podcast. What else we got?
Instagram. Are we on Instagram?
Instagram. I don't know how to.
Snapchat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, we're old though, so we're behind on Snapchat, guys. So
I did my first Snapchat one day.
Tok Tok. Not Snapchat.
Oh yeah, Tok Tok.
Oh look at us. We don't even
TikTok.
Know.
No. What is it?
TikTok.
Is it TikTok?
Yes, I call it Tok Tok.
Okay. You got me all messed up. So you would think my husband would do that because he's like addicted to TikTok.
Well then he better go follow us on TikTok.
I'll have to go follow me. I'll make him follow us on TikTok. That's right. It's called TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So I did my first TikTok.
Yes.
With my dogs. Okay.
Aw. Ain't that cute?
About them living there for free. And they both was sleeping.
Oh, Lord. Lazy. Bums. No, it's T-I-K. Oh. T-O-K.
T-I-K-T-O-K. Yep. Okay.
Look at
us. I write that down.
TikTok. Okay, guys. I feel like that's over and out for us. And I know. Heather was like, yeah, come on, let's go. I got to go home now. She's like, I don't want to go home. We missed this.
I miss the studio. I miss my best friend.
I know, it's fun. But
this snarly, gnarly, growly, whatever that word is, sinus infection. Ugh.
Yeah, no. And no sickness is allowed in my house until it's gone. But anyways, I got to get ready to go pick one Brad up, and the other one will be here soon. So until then, we love you guys. We appreciate all your support. Give us a like, give us a follow, give us a shout out, because we truly do fangirl over that shit.
Right.
Like middle of the day.
I was driving to East St. to the Illinois, East St. Louis, whatever the hell it's called. And you sent that, and I was like, I started like bawling going down Route 3. And I know people were looking at me here. I'm passing the freaking tent bars and everything. And I'm crying. And I'm like, oh my God, we're famous.
It feels like when you get that kind of right? stuff, you're like, oh my gosh, you know? So it's really fun. So yeah. Thanks, guys. We love you. Until next time.
Oh no, bitch. Oh, what? I have a comfy fact. I'm trying to forget shit.
I am. We've been out of the studio too damn long. Let's get
You got my comfy fact because I forgot to get the motherfucker.
Right. See?
Okay.
One job.
Fuck you. Whatever. Since intro of the death penalty in the U.S. in 1976, more than 8,000 people have been sent. Shit, I can't talk. Okay, let's start over. Since the intro of the death penalty in the U.S. in 1976, more than 8,000 people have been sent to death row for murder. But less than 10% of them have been women.
Interesting.
8,000 people since 1976. So what is 10% of 8,000? I don't know math.
I don't do math.
Me neither.
Let's see. But, you know, like the teachers always said, you'll never have a calculator in your pocket all the time. Bullshit. Right here in my hand. Thank you very much. What am I doing? 10%?
10% of 8,000.
800. Oh my God. Wow.
I need a pill.
Can we?
Okay. So less
can
than
we edit that.
Right. Fuck it. No. So less than 800 women out of the 8,000 have been sent to death row for murder.
That's crazy.
There's got to be more than 800. See, they always give us like the, you know, the out. We get the out because
we can do self-defense.
Right.
We can do, you know.
But you know, a bitch is crazy.
Only a bitch would be crazy. What is the, Adam's mom had me watching something the other day. It was called She Made Me Do It. And right. me and her were up there and we're like, he did it. And she's like, the cousin, that ain't her cousin. We were getting all into it.
Right.
So women are crazy. And a lot of times it is us who snap. But
oh, I love the show Snapped.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get out of here. All right, so let's do our closing statement.
Oh, until then, stay comfy.
Don't get murdered. Love you.